From the cowardice that dares not face new truth. From the laziness that is contented with half-truth. From the arrogance that thinks it knows all truth. Good Lord, deliver us. Amen. Today's passage comes to us from Romans chapter 12. Now, I should note, in the previous 11 chapters of Romans, Paul has gone at great lengths to talk about what we as Christians should believe. In chapter 12, Paul gets real. He starts to talk about, given these beliefs, this is what he expects the church to look like, to act like, to feel like. In chapter 12, he starts out by using a timeless, universal image, the image of the human body. One body with many parts, working together for the good of the whole. One body, the church, the body collected, forming the body of Jesus Christ himself here on earth. Now, this body image is not new to us. We should remember it easily from this scripture passage, from other scripture passages, 1 Corinthians 12, Ephesians 4. We talk about this one body often in our liturgy, in our baptism liturgy, in our communion liturgy. We talk a good bit about the one bread that is the one body. And just as we are many, we are one body, for we partake in the one loaf. This should be familiar language to us as Christians. We often in our prayers talk about being the body of Christ. We refer often to Teresa of Avila's prayer, perhaps the most famous. It says, Christ has no body but yours, no hands, no feet but yours, and so on. This body stuff should come as nothing new to us. And yet, as I prepared the sermon for this week, it occurred to me that it is objectively a challenging image to preach on. Because when we're perfectly honest with ourselves, we tend to have a rather negative image of the body. Whether that's negative images of our own personal bodies or the more collective body, we are fighting with a negative image. It is not such a wonderful, beautiful, easy image like water or breath. The body has lots of negative connotations for all of us. Oftentimes, we talk about struggling with body image issues. We hear that in the media, particularly among young girls that struggle with body image issues. But I have to say, I believe men, women, young, old, every ethnicity, every kind of person has some kind of negative body issue, something they would change about their appearance or their abilities or their physical stature. I even heard this week that John Mellencamp, the rock star, at one point wanted to be an actor and a rock star, and so he was actually the first one offered the position or the role in the movie Thelma and Louise that ended up going to Brad Pitt. And the reason he turned it down is because the movie director required that he take his shirt off, and he refused to do that. And while, I mean, I don't feel too bad to the guy, he is a rock star after all, but at the same time, it gave me pause to think when even he has body image issues. Clearly, we are a culture that complain about our body. Clearly, we are people who are critical about our appearance. We think of ourselves as too fat, too skinny, too tall, too short, too awkward, too clumsy, too bald, you name it. The body is hard to celebrate. At some point last Sunday afternoon, a bug of some kind bit my left hand. And as the afternoon progressed, I watched with kind of sick fascination as it continued to swell and get bigger and bigger. If you were one of the unfortunate few who were here on Sunday night to cross my path, I probably stopped you and showed you my hand because it got uglier and more grotesque. Somehow I figured it needed witnesses to see how big and how ugly it had become. It just somehow made me feel better. I'm not sure how. But then I went home that night and I tried to make dinner, and I tried to send some emails, and I tried to go through our regular nighttime routine, and I couldn't because this hand had become so big and so awkward, it was pretty much unusable. And my former fascination grew to annoyance because my hand was not working like it should be. Similarly, I believe many of us have been in situations where we feel our body parts are somehow failing us. It could very well not be a life-threatening issue, but a bad hip or a bad knee or cataracts or sinus problems or a migraine or a bad back that gets thrown out or a sprained ankle. Something like that throws us, bothers us, annoys us because we depend on our bodies and we depend on each of the parts to work the way they're supposed to do. And when they don't, we get annoyed. We get frustrated. We start to feel like our bodies have betrayed us. Collectively speaking, not only do we have issues with body image, and not only do we have issues of being frustrated when our bodies don't work, we collectively, as a nation, are not good to our bodies. And I'm not going to talk about obesity and various other nutrition things. I'm going to talk about the fact that we are in a serious drug crisis nationwide. Right now, we are in a nationwide opioid horrible crisis. This past year, there were 64,000 overdose cases. That's an increase of 22% over the previous year. We are looking at one of the worst times in our nation's history of fighting drugs. And when you talk about overdoses, this means that each of those overdoses require an autopsy. So that means that in medical examiner offices across the nation, particularly in hard-hit places like Ohio, they are seeing a backlog of bodies, corpses that are literally piling up, waiting to be examined. I read one examiner refer to it as a tsunami of bodies. There is something chronically wrong when we are not just putting our bodies down, when we are not just frustrated with our bodies, but when we as a nation are collectively abusing them to such a point that the corpses are literally piling up with nowhere to store them. We clearly have a negative perception of these bodies that hold our very being. And so these bodies, more often than not, trouble us more than they inspire us. They show us our failures, our limitations. They even show us our societal sins. And so when I look at a text like this, it's kind of hard to get all excited about the body. It's hard to think of the body as this holy and living sacrifice, as this wonderful temple of God's grace and God's Spirit, and this beautiful corporate image of Christ's body together, when it seems a disconnect with all that I've seen in our culture and in conversations and in the headlines. It doesn't seem to go together. But then I was reminded that it didn't go together in Paul's time either. In Paul's day and age, he was living in a Roman culture, writing here into a Roman culture, and they would be deeply steeped in the dualistic Gnostic understanding that the body is made of flesh, and that flesh is inherently evil and bad and sinful. The rhetoric of the time, in a different way, would be no doubt negative towards the body itself. And so it is telling, it is countercultural, it is revolutionary for Paul to challenge this cultural assumption. And instead of buying into the idea that the body is a negative, awful thing, he turns it around and says, no, the body is something that should be celebrated. The body should be examined. We should take note of the fact that it has all these parts, and each part play its own function, and the parts work together in this amazing way. And when you put it together, it is this corporate body of Christ. It was a pretty amazing turnaround that Paul is trying to argue here when he takes this negative and he makes it positive. And I ponder that this week. Why and how would he do that? Why would he want to fight that battle? Why would he want to take this negative image? And here, right in Romans 12, right when he's starting out his talk about the practical implications of the church, why would he choose the body to start with? And why would he choose to make it such a positive, beautiful, wondrous image? And as I struggled with that, I walked through my week. And I, like many of you, watched the pictures and the headlines. And I saw pictures of people in Las Vegas using their own bodies as human shields, lying on top of other bodies, sometimes complete strangers, putting themselves over them, protecting the body. They weren't covering the backpacks or the pop-up chairs or the handbags or the stuff. They were covering the bodies that were there. They were doing everything physically possible to protect the bodies because in it, they knew that those bodies were containers of life. They were the very flesh and the skin that covered the spirit and the ambition and the dreams and the hopes and the laughter and the personality of these people who were laying there. And if they had any hope of survival, their bodies had to be covered. These bodies that we sometimes abuse and put down are at the end of the day the very thing that hold life. And they should be protected and celebrated and honored. We might not treat our bodies like we should. We might bemoan their inadequacies and their limitations, but in the end, they're what we need in order to survive. I find it telling that Jesus held up the bread and he said, "This is my body given for you." It was not some empty gesture or some just kind remark. No, he was saying he gave his body, his all, for us. He shielded us so that we might not face all the pain and the hurt and the sin of the world. He covered us and our sins and our pain. He covered us with his body. And when Paul knows this and talks about this, he's not going to put that down. He's not going to buy into this whole idea that the body is somehow bad, because it was Jesus who gave his body for us. It was Jesus whose body hung on the cross for us. It was Jesus who said, "This is my body given for you." And when Paul hears those words, he knows what a great and amazing gift that was. And so he turns it. He turns that image and he proclaims throughout his writings a unique and profoundly corporate theology. He talks again and again about the importance of the body. In 1 Corinthians 15, he writes about how when we die and we go into eternal life, we will have new bodies in Christ and in our eternal life. It's not that our souls are going to float up to the hinterlands. No. Our entire bodies are redeemed. In Romans, he talks about creation itself as a whole being called up. When he talks about Jesus, he reminds us again of its corporate, of the body of Christ come together so that we, as we come together, might, in this amazing, magical way, be incorporated in Christ's body itself. Paul doesn't just let this body image go. He brings it up again and again and again in his writing because he knows how great that sacrifice was that Jesus made for us. He knows how profound it is for Jesus to say he gave his body for us. And Paul wants us to claim that too. Paul wants us to see the joy in our own bodies, the way that we have been uniquely and wonderfully made to be in service for God and for the kingdom and the church. And he wants us to see that collectively we make up this body of Christ that is good and joyous and full. And when there is one weakness, another strength evens it out. It works together in a way that is amazing and beautiful. Paul wants us to reclaim this body image and make it positive and good and true. On the morning after the shooting, I was driving into downtown for a church meeting, and I heard the radio talk show host trying to make sense of all that had happened in Las Vegas. Now, as an aside, I have to marvel at these talk show hosts because one moment they're doing call-in contests and making dumb jokes on the air, and then something happens, a big world event, and they are live and on air, and suddenly they have to pivot and say something profound. And that day, I thought that the radio talk show host really did. At least it touched me as I was driving in. He admitted that when the headlines come, when you hear the news of the 58 dead, the hundreds who had been injured, that you feel like there's nothing you can do to help these victims who are on clear other side of the states, that there's nothing you can do. But he said, there is something you can do. He said, you can hold on to your loved ones a little bit longer and a little bit tighter. And it struck me. He's saying to hold on to the bodies of those who we love. Hold on to them a little bit longer and hold on to them a little bit tighter. Because in a world where there are so many random acts, so many cruel and violent things, so many things that we don't understand, the motives beyond, the ins and the outs, what we can understand is the human touch. And we can't understand that when we put our arms around somebody we love, we are holding a body that in some amazing, mystical way contains all we know them to be. Their memories, their future, their laughter, their personality, their smell is right there. And you can hold on to it. We can't hold on to all this mess out there, but we can hold on to that body and know it to be true and real. And good. And if we hold on to it a little bit tighter and a little bit longer, what a better place this world would be. The NIV translation of this text translates verse 5 a little bit different. It translates it to read, "So in Christ, we who are many form one body, and each member belongs to all the others." And professing we are one body with many parts, yes, we are celebrating the diversity of the body. Yes, we are celebrating the unity of the body. But the good news for us today, the especially good news, is it celebrates that as one body, we belong to each other. That we belong to each other's lives, to each other's prayer requests, to each other's insights into Scripture, to each other's needs, to each other's celebrations. We are not just solo beings hanging out, floating through life somewhere. No, we are gathered together as one body, collected together, and we belong to each other in a much greater belonging in that we belong to a God who is constantly reaching out to us, constantly desiring us, constantly loving us, constantly saying that you in your body are enough for me. We celebrate that belonging when we are together. I admit we at Soapstone, our collective body has its own wonderful and unique quirks. We smell like barbecue a good bit of the time. We have a crazy number of flood buckets. We have a pet blessing coming up. We have tool trailers. We have prayer shawls. We have so much that makes this body unique and wonderful. And when we come into this place, we belong to each other as one body in witness to God. This collective body, this one body, is truly something to celebrate. It is beautiful, tangible, real. It is a body that teaches us what it really means to belong. Glory to God. Amen.